A recent study looked at more than 500 cities in the U.S. and Canada to predict how their weather might change by the year 2080 because of climate change. They found that Milwaukee will feel more like Philadelphia. Raleigh, North Carolina will be the new Tallahassee, Florida. Wetter, warmer. Lead author Matt Fitzpatrick is an associate professor at the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science. Professor, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So just give us some more examples of how people might, you know, how they're suddenly living somewhere else weather-wise.
That's right. So if you're talking about sort of the average urban dweller today, they would need to get in a car or on a train and drive about 500 miles to the south to find a climate today like we expect in their city in 2080. So in general, most cities in the east are going to be warmer in all seasons and wetter in all seasons.
Well, staying with the east, then you've got Washington, D.C., which can be pretty muggy as it is in the summer. It will feel more like Mississippi.
That's right. Like that mugginess that you might think about in Washington, D.C. in late July or August, you know, imagine extending that multiple weeks on either side. So now, you know, we're talking May, June, July, August, September, having that sort of weather.
And give us some examples from the West.
Yeah, so the West is a little bit more complicated given the mountain ranges and the complexity of climate. And a lot of places, you know, think like Southern California. So places are getting drier in most seasons, definitely warmer in all seasons.
Give us a thumbnail of how you did this.
So the basic idea is measuring the similarity in several climate variables between two places and times. And so, you know, we do some statistical methods to measure that similarity. And once we find the location with the highest similarity, or as we would say, the smallest distance in these climate spaces that we're measuring, that's what we would call the best analog or the most similar climate.
Well, if Washington, D.C. is going to be Mississippi, what is Mississippi going to be?
Well, that's a good question. So a lot of the cities that we looked at along the Gulf Coast of the U.S. and also in the western U.S., you know, Mississippi is becoming more like Mexico. But as we move south, one pattern that we saw is that for places like Mississippi, Florida, Gulf Coast of Texas, those matches are not very good. And that's what we would call climate novelty. So what's happening here is that these cities are changing in such a way that their future climates are unlike anything present in the study area that we looked at.
Wow. So why did you do this? We understand that scientists are really trying to find a way to bring what has become this politicized science, to bring it to a more relatable thing for people. Was that a part of this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's this big disconnect between the level of concern that scientists have about climate change and the level of concern the general public has. And there's lots of reasons for that difference in these two groups of people. But one of them is communication. And so we often hear things like, you know, we expect mean global temperature to go up 3 degrees Fahrenheit. But we don't experience mean global temperature, right? We experience a climate in the place we live. And so trying to translate what a number like that, that's very abstract, it's psychologically distant, into something that people can relate to is the primary goal that we were going for with this study. It's more local, it's more personal. And it also, I think, gets across the point that, you know, a 3 degree Fahrenheit change in temperature is actually a very, very dramatic and rapid change in climate.
But what do you say to people who say, you know what, and we'll evolve? We used to be, you know, a land that was covered in ice, or there's always been some sort of change. What do you say to that?
Well, I think humans do have a great capacity for adaptation. I think, you know, we're getting to the point that we have multiple stresses on natural systems. And so the ability to just say, we'll be fine, we'll adapt, maybe, but we also could have the potential for some very severe consequences of these changes.
Well, and most scientists agree, extremely severe. You've, by the way, done these calculations based on if there's a move to stop the emissions that are causing climate change and if there's not. And we'll link people to your interactive climate map at hereandnow.org so they can see their city and what it's going to be in the future. But you also point out that this means that children living today are going to live in a very different climate than maybe the generations before them.
That's right. So I have a daughter who's 12, in her lifetime, she's going to experience a dramatic transformation in climate, right? To the point that if my grandchildren lived where I live today, I don't think they would recognize the climate I'm living in right now in the same place. These are the scales of changes we're talking about. I'm looking out my window now. There's piles of snow. You know, snow is going to become an unusual and rare event in the place that I live if these climate forecasts come to pass. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be a completely different world in terms of climate for kids today.
That's Matt Fitzpatrick, associate professor at the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science. Again, we'll link you to his interactive map at hereandnow.org. Matt, thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Peter O'Dowd. This is Here and Now.